Blog Talk Radio.
This morning, our title is coming out of the New Testament, and it's for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Not one of us is going to be exempt from standing before the Lord God one day, before standing before the Savior one day. And we must ask ourselves, will we be ready? Because not one of us is promised tomorrow. Not one of us is promised tomorrow. We all live day to day, from glory to glory, in God to guide each footstep, that we stay in our square, that we walk the right way, talk the right way, and do what's right. Not because we're afraid of hell, but because it's just what's right. So as we go through this day that the Lord made, not us, God gave us this new day. God put us in the right space because somebody didn't wake up this morning. Somebody didn't get another opportunity for a do-over. And so we should take every day as if it's our last, treating each other the right way, loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. I was, as y'all know, I'm a news junkie. I love, no, I'm not a junkie. I'm not going to claim that word. I like to read the news, mainly because I like to stay up to date on what's going on, because I look at it from a biblical point of view. And I was just reading an article that nurses, people who are supposed to serve, who are supposed to care about others, profession, because they love their neighbor. 30 nurses walked out of a hospital because they were asked to be vaccinated. So they chose unemployment over vaccination, and they were mostly from a maternity ward, which meant that children could not be born in this hospital, could not, deliver babies in this hospital. And I thought about that. And I would love to talk to one of those nurses to ask if vaccinations are more important than bringing new life into the world. Because think this through. You are a nurse that brings a baby into this world and you are unvaccinated. And you have undiagnosed COVID. You can very easily infect a whole room of people, including that newborn. So is it worth not being able to bring life into the world because you decided, I'm not going to do that, 30 times 10 said no. I don't know if the vaccine is the right thing to have done. I don't know. I just know that I prayed about it. I asked God to guide me about it. And I did what God told me to do. I don't know if God told them not to do this. I don't know. Because being vaccinated is a personal thing. Personal thing. And it is between you and God and your physician. And the fact is, that is something that you will choose or you will not choose. And whatever consequences may arise from it, they are your choice, each and every one of you and your family. And I'm just going to be honest, I got vaccinated because of my grandchildren. And the fact of the job that I do, I did not want to bring anything home and expose my grandchildren because they mean the world to me. I did not want to expose anything to my children. And they didn't want to expose anything to me. So my whole entire household were vaccinated. My daughter is a doctor, and she recommended it, and she was also vaccinated. So she had, in fact, gotten COVID. And I had been exposed to it and had to be quarantined. And I have a situation with bronchitis, and so I have to be extremely careful, and I wear a mask. Because I want to be here to see my granddaughters walk down the aisle as they graduate from college. I want to be able to see my grandson, who is 4 years old, one day get married. If God allows and God's will. So I just say, as we go through this foolishness of divisiveness in this nation. Remember what Jesus said. A house divided against itself will not stand. And whether we think we've been here forever, we have not. We are really a very new nation. We are a new country. Growing pains right now. And the only way to get through it is through prayer. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, leading in your everlasting arms, Father God, asking you to guide this nation, because we are base, comparatively speaking. We haven't been around very long, Lord God. We're going through some stuff. We're going through some growing pains right now, Father. Just like a child, Lord God, we need you to hold us up as we learn to walk, as we learn to move, as we learn to live. For as we move and live and have our being, Father God, we need you to hold our hand, to guide us in the right direction, to remove all the hatred and distrust and things not like you from us. Lord, you are in charge of everything. Lord, I put our hands. I ask you, Lord God, to guide my family and to watch over my children as they drive the highways and the byways. And then I ask you, Lord, to watch over my neighbor's children, my neighbors, my friends, my colleagues, my church, my pastors, the members, that you watch over each and every one. But Lord, we have followed your will and your way. Whatever you told our pastor to do, that's what we have done. And Lord, we thank you that not one person has gotten COVID in our church, from our church. And Lord, we ask you to watch over our children. As our children come into your house, Lord, we ask you to watch over them, to take care of them, to guide them, to lead them in the way that they should go. And Lord, let us be great examples for them. But Father God, we want to be right and righteous. We don't want to just talk about it. We want to be about it. Lord God, I ask you to bless those that are out on the streets, that are homeless, that do not have shelter, food, or clothing. Lord God, help us not just talk about it, but be about it. If we have food, Lord God, let us give it to them. If we have clothes, let us give it to them. If we have shelter available, let us lead them to it. Lord God, we are all on our way to the narrow gate. And we ask you, Father God, to guide us and lead us. And Father, as I get ready to read your word, I ask you, Lord God, to please increase as I decrease. And Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart that I give away to you to be used by you. For you, Lord God, are my strength and my redeemer. And it is in your hands I place everything. For you created everything. And you are everything to me. And it's in the name of the matchless Savior Christ Jesus, who I must stand before one day. That it's in his name I pray, his name, as I lift up this planet, asking you, Lord God, to please continue to give us another chance to get it right, to do what's right, to be right and righteous. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God. Saying, Jesus, be a fence all around your children today, protecting our children as they go to school, protecting our seniors as they go about their day, protecting all those that are vulnerable with illnesses that preclude them from being able to get vaccinated, that those that choose to get vaccinated will be careful and not spread this horrible disease to the vulnerable. This all I can do is pray that God will watch over us. But then I also understand that God also may be doing a pruning. He may be pruning some dead weeds and clipping some trees. And if God is pruning, maybe pulling some wheat away from the tares so that it may be baked for bread and being and giving life sustenance. And maybe he's pulling weeds and putting them in the fire. We don't know the plans that God has. All we can do is walk in light and ask God to keep us out of the dark and helping us to stay in our square, that we will do what he has asked us to do, to love him with every part of our being, our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Let's get into this beautiful, wonderful word this morning. And the word this morning is coming out of Isaiah chapter 17, verse to chapter 18, verse 7. Again, please get your Bibles. We are going to Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1 through chapter 18, verse 7. And the word of God says in chapter 17, verse 1 of the book of Isaiah, the burden against Damascus. And again, prophetic word this morning. Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. The cities of Aura are forsaken. They will be for flocks which lie down, and no one will make them afraid. The fortress also will cease from Ephraim, the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They will be as the glory of the children of Israel, says the Lord of hosts. In that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob will wane, and the fatness of his growing. It shall be as when the harvester gathers the grain and reaps the heads with his arm. It shall be as he who gathers heads of grain in the valley of Rephaim. Yet gleaning grapes will be left in it, like the shaking of an olive tree, two or three olives at the top of the uppermost barrel, four or five in its most fruitful branches, says the Lord God of Israel. In that day, a man will look to his maker, and his eyes will have respect for the Holy One of Israel. He will not look to the altars, the work of his hands. He will not respect what his fingers have made, nor the wooden images, nor the incense altars. In that day, his strong cities will be as a forsaken bough and an uppermost branch, which they left because of the children of Israel. And there will be desolation, because you have forgotten the God of your salvation and have not been mindful of the rock of your stronghold. Therefore, you will plant pleasant plants and set out foreign seedlings. In that day, you will make your plant to grow. And in the morning, you will make your seed to flourish. But the harvest will be a heap of ruins in the day of grief and desperate sorrow. Woe to the multitude of many people who make a noise like the roar of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations will rush the rushing of many waters, but God will rebuke them, and they will flee far away and be chased like the chaff of the mountains before the wind, like a rolling thing before the whirlwind, and behold, at evening tide trouble, and before the morning, he is no more. This is the portion of those who plunder us, and the lot of those who rob us. Woe to the land shadowed with buzzing wings, which is beyond the river of Ethiopia, which sends ambassadors by sea, even in vessels of reed on the water, saying, go swift messengers to a nation tall and smooth of skin, to a people terrible from their beginning onward, a nation powerful and treading down whose land the rivers divide. All inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, when he lifts up a banner on the mountains, you see it. And when he blows a trumpet, you hear it. But so the Lord said to me, I will take my rest, and I will look from my dwelling place like clear heat and sunshine, like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. For before the harvest, when the bud is perfect, and the sour grape is ripening in the flower, he will both cut off the sprig with pruning hooks and take away and cut down the branches. They will be left together for the mountain birds of prey and for the beasts of the earth. The birds of prey will summer on them, and all the beasts of the earth will winter on them. In that time, a present will be brought to the Lord of hosts from a people tall and smooth of skin, and from a people terrible from their beginning onwards, a nation powerful and treading down, whose land the rivers divide, to a place of the name of the Lord of hosts, to Mount Zion. And a life lesson from Dr. Charles Stanley. For the word man will look to his maker, and his eyes will have respect for the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah pictures a future time, but we can look to our maker and have respect for the Holy One of Israel right now. At this very moment, we can enjoy the blessings of intimate connection to our God. And that's what we want. We want an intimate connection to God, to know our name. We want to be in the book. We want our story to be written, and we want our story to be written in a good light. When your memoirs are read before God, will he say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Or will he say, I don't know you? And then you say, but Lord, I did all these things for you. I preached, I taught, I gave to the poor. I did everything I was supposed to do. But then he says, I don't know you because you didn't do it because you loved me. You did it for self-aggrandizement. You did it so the world could see you. You did it for riches and fame, but you didn't do it because you loved me. We are going to all have to stand before God one day. What will your story be? What will he say to you? Will you make it in to the narrow gate? Or will you follow the crowd, always doing what everybody else is doing, and forgot to do with us as the Lord? Psalms 106, verses 32 through 39. Again, Psalm 106, verse 32-39. And it says this, they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses on account of them, because they rebelled against his spirit, so that he spoke rashly with his lips. Moses got in more trouble because he got sick and tired of being sick and tired of a rebellious, nasty folks who didn't want to listen as he was trying to get them down to the promised land. And because of their rebelliousness, he didn't make it in to the promised land. But none of them did either. He at least got to go up into the mountains and look down and see it all. But because of disobedience on his part, he didn't make it in. They did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. And we all know Joshua got tricked. The one time he did not consult God, he got tricked. Got totally manipulated and tricked. But the one thing, even with all of that, his generation was the one that did not rebel. They did not. Problem was, they didn't put it in their children. And when their children started to grow, they started to do what they were not supposed to do. And it changed the course of history. Because Joshua told them all, choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Read chapter 24 of Joshua, which we've read already on this blog, on this show. We've read Joshua 24. Again, I can't help it, but I'm shouting out to the W Faith Ministry and Table of Life Ministries. I am still filled up from the Women's Conference of this year. I will serve the Lord. And ladies, you served. And you continue to serve from your heart. And all I can say is kudos, the director, to have birthed this awesome ministry. I thank God, because God put it in me and God birthed it out of me. And I'm grateful every day to Pastor Jesse Herring for allowing me to birth it at Table of Life Ministry. Whew. Where I have found love, where I have found peace, and where I have found joy. But the joy of the Lord is my strength, and the Lord is at the table. So just grateful. If you are looking for a church home and you listen to this blog on Facebook or on Twitter and you live in the Springfield area, our doors are always open. You can come in, you can get a meal at the table. And you will get all the love, all the joy, and all the peace that we can give you through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to our word. And I'm going to start again at verse 34. It says, they did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them, because God already knew the future. But they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed, are y'all hearing this? Sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood. the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with the blood. Thus they were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds. The word of God is on point. We got to look at some things. We got to take some self-evaluating. Because understand, history unknown is history repeated. And this basic instruction before leaving earth is a history book. The Bible is the best history book you could ever read. It is history. It is futuristic. It is everything you need is in this book. Any book you ever read, whether it's mystery, whether it's science fiction, whether it's whatever, romance, whatever kind of book you read, whatever kind of genres you read, it will never be better than this book, this basic instruction. Because this body that we're in is just housing a spirit that will leave. Because when this body goes into the ground, it will turn back to dust. The worms will have at it. It will just be that. Inside is what's going to go forth. What's inside is what's going to stand before God. What's going to stand at judgment before Jesus Christ. What's inside it? Is your inside light or is your inside dark? Is she going to stand before the Savior one day? The question will be, where are you going to spend eternity? Definitely to predict your altitude. Are you going up yonder? Are you going in the pit? It's just something to think about. And Proverbs 25:11-12 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold, in settings of silver, like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold. It is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. And that's what we have to be. If you are given instruction, if you are critiqued and criticized, all should be able to take a critique and a criticism when it is given in love. As you are going through training in life, there's going to be somebody to rebuke you. But when that rebuke is done in love and it is received in obedience, watch God work. We have to be obedient and we have to learn. God rebukes us. God beats our behinds when we don't do what we need to do. Or God teaches us lessons to show us what not to do the next time. You know, I am grateful that I have a past as a new associate. I am learning. I am in training. And I am told things that, you know, okay, you should maybe have done that. You should have done it this way. And I take that to heart so that I'll make that mistake again. So we have to understand we're always in training. Don't get your, you know, as they used to say when I was growing, don't get your panties in a bunch because somebody told you that you did something wrong. Don't get your panties in a bunch because you were corrected. Our parents corrected us for purposes and reasons, just like God corrects us for purpose and reason. Just like you may be corrected by your pastor, or you may be corrected by your boss, or you may be corrected by your supervisor. Take it and move forward. Don't get all, I don't believe he told me that. I don't believe she come out. Why they acting all like that? God will put people in your space to help you. All you have to do is be willing to accept the help. We got to get out of this craziness that's going on in our world today, where folks are so selfish and self-centered that they could care less about anybody but themselves. I got mine. I don't want to be around those people. I'm going to get all up in their face. You know, a couple of years ago, a video came out of a young lady, I think she was in her 20s, being attacked by a customer. She was a McDonald's worker. And a customer leaned over the counter and picked up this little girl. She wasn't big as a hot minute. And was all in her face and was getting ready to wail on her. But he didn't know, because she was only 4'11". He thought she was somebody that was a pushover. And the next thing you know, she wailed on him with her little fist. She beat him up because he was cussing her out and about and pushing her and getting ready to hit her. But she got him first. And he didn't know what was going on because those little fists was going 50, going 30. Because she was afraid. She was afraid. Because he was bigger than her. And the thing that bothered my heart the most was this little bitty woman had just had a baby. And he picked her, pulled her over on her stomach as he was trying to get at her. And you're going to understand when I get finished with this story. Why did he do it? Because there was not a straw in the condiment area. And she told him that, she was telling him, you have to ask for a straw because we're getting ready to go to no straws. And before she knew it, she was picked up and grabbed and touched out and assaulted. But she defended herself and beat him up. And then what he found out is that little 4'11 woman was a boxer. And she didn't play. As he went to court, the only thing he could say was, I knew she was hitting me, but I kept saying to myself, that don't hurt, that don't hurt, that don't hurt. She beat him. And then as he was going, being escorted out the door, he kicks another female employee in her stomach. Kicks her in her stomach over a straw. Think that through, family. A straw. Young woman was pulled over a counter. A straw. Another young woman was kicked in her stomach. And when he went to court, he was given 60 days in jail. Then I think 56 in and was given time served. He apologized because he said he had been drinking, whatever. Alcohol can make you do some stupid stuff because you open yourself up to spirits that are not kind. So the matter is, we got to take a look at ourselves because, again, we will all stand before Jesus. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ one day. The question is, will we make it through the narrow gate? Will you say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Or will you say, I don't know you? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. But we know that if our earthly house, this tent that we call a body, this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. But in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed having been clothed, we have not found naked. We shall not be found naked. But we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always, did I say that word? Always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body from the Lord, for we walk by faith not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we're going to read it again, verse 6 through verse 8. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Verse 9. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. But we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I'll read that again. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. Did you hear that? A boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Before, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's who we are as Christians, as believers, as members of the way. We are ambassadors for Christ. How do you carry yourself as an ambassador? Are you hateful? Are you mean? Are you nasty? Are you a doubter? Are you a this and that? Are you anti-everybody, everything, every? Everybody's bad but you. We got to understand we all fall short of God's glory. Because we all have sinned. Not one perfect person is on this planet. I'm not perfect. I just go to work that when my time comes, I am prepared and ready. My bags are packed and my house is built. I've got to be ready because Jesus is coming back. And let me tell you something. YouTube won't be able to handle it. Facebook won't be able to handle it. Twitter and Instagram won't be able to handle it. Snapchat won't be able to handle it. TikTok won't be able to handle it. When he comes back, no one will be able to handle it because it will be glorious. And it will not be lovey-dovey. It will be war. Think that through. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's our word for this morning. I have some life lessons from Dr. Stanley and what the Bible says about accountability relationships. And Dr. Stanley says in this life lesson in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by, that's a memory scripture, that's a highlightable. That whole section from 6 to 8 is highlightable. Actually, the whole book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the whole chapter is highlightable. I don't think there's one section in this whole book of 2 Corinthians, the whole doggone book, whole book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the whole chapter, the whole book of 2 Corinthians, and the whole chapter of 5 is highlightable. There's nothing in it that is not highlightable that you need to go back and read and read and read again. Because this building that we are housed in, this shell that we call a body, is a house not made by hands. Inside is our spirit. It's a house. It's a house. Ready to go home. Is that spirit ready to go home? Because God is coming. His Son is coming. And the Holy Spirit is saying, please let me in. Let me can give your light. So I can light the light. Because until the Holy Spirit comes in, you have no light. It's all dark. Pray for God to give you the Holy Spirit, that you will be light in this world. You will be that light on the hill, not hidden under a bushel. And as Dr. Stanley says for chapter 5, verse 7 of 2 Corinthians, Paul writes this verse in the context of the resurrection of the body. We remain confident where we will live again in a new and glorious body, not because we see it, but because we trust the one who gave the promise. We believe. 2 Corinthians 5 and 9, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. If we love the Lord, we will make it our aim and our delight to please him by the way we live. We look for ways to make him smile rather than probing to see how close to the cliff's edge we can get without falling off. 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was reconciling the world to himself. God has given us the task of letting the world know what Jesus has done to make it possible for everyone who has faith in him to enjoy eternal life and an intimate relationship with the Father. I want my relationship with my daddy. I want my relationship with my father. I want to be able to sit in his lap and talk to him. I want to be able to be hugged when I need that father hug. I want that kiss on the forehead. I want to be told, I love you, daughter. I want that. I want that relationship with my father. And that's what we need to want that personal relationship with our dad. Every day for my godfather, who was my dad in every respect. He was my father. And I'm going to tell you, he only had to chastise me once. Because dads hit harder than moms. And I deserved my spanking. And I took that licking and kept on ticking because I knew I was wrong. And I tell children today, when your parents, whoever's raising you become your parents, when your godparents, they're your godparents, your uncle, your aunt, but they're raising you, they're your mother and father. And I tell you, treat them with respect. Love on them as they love on you. Because understand, when that discipline comes, it's going to be deserved when you're disobedient. Because you don't have to be old to die. The enemy is trying to take our children. Do you not see it, family? Parents out there whining and complaining about your child wearing a mask. I watched on the news just the other day this mother crying, and she didn't think her child could get COVID. And she did. And mom was begging people to please get vaccinated, not for yourselves, but for your children. God heard her prayers. God heard the prayers of those that prayed for her from watching her on television, broke down, thinking she was going to lose her baby girl. But God. We got to think about our children because the enemy wants our babies. Because they're sweet and they're innocent. Gifts from God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Not in ourselves, but in him. God took the sins of the whole world and on the cross piled them on the back of Jesus Christ, the one person who had never committed a single sin. Jesus took our punishment so that we might receive his righteousness. Think that through. I get filled up when I think of the goodness of God that he gave his son for me, for my sins, for your sins, for our sins. Jesus died for us. The whips, the 39 lashes on his back, the crown of thorns on his head, the nails in his hands. He did it for us. The spear in his side, he did it for us. His blood was for us. Got to think that through. And this is what the word Dr. Stanley has written. He says what the Bible says about accountability relationships. And we know verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And the title of our lesson today is, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And Dr. Stanley says, in an age of individual rights, the principle of accountability runs strongly against the popular grain. One, our pride, egotism, and self-sufficiency rebels against the concept of being accountable to one another for our conduct. Yet accountability is a strong biblical teaching that greatly enhances our spiritual and vocational pursuits. Scripture tells us that God has made us accountable both to him and to others. Accountability provides a wise check and balance, whether it be a supervisor at work, I just talked about that, or a personal friend. We all need someone who will be able to both to admonish and encourage us. God allows others to observe and frankly discuss our areas of weakness, which otherwise could result in eventual ruin. Let's face it, nobody likes to admit his shortcomings, but in submitting to someone we hold in high esteem or one in authority over us, we are winners. We stimulate our performance into license. Even though he was the preeminent apostle of his day, Paul remained accountable to his home church at Antioch, returning there on occasion to report on his journeys. As a temperamental young preacher, Timothy was accountable to Paul. Jesus had sent out his disciples not just for mutual support, but for accountability. Rather than avoid a check in such relationships, we should thank God for every practical means of promoting our spiritual growth and developing our sense of responsibility.
I am accountable to my pastor. I am accountable to God. She is accountable to God. That is my pastor. That is my leader. That is my shepherd, and I'm accountable to her. And I accept that accountability, just like my children are accountable to me. Because the one thing you have in this life that you want to hold on to with every part of your being is your good name. And it goes on to tell us in this word, our ultimate accountability, of course, is to the Lord, so that each of us shall give account of himself to God. Romans 14 and 12, which we have read. Knowing that we must one day answer to our just God should be our powerful incentive for holiness and obedience. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what, good or bad. Becoming a Christian does not relieve us of personal responsibility. Although our sins have been forgiven through Christ's sacrifice, we still are responsible for our behavior. What we do on earth matters. We are free in Christ, but we are also bond servants of Christ. God has no design, has so designed us that we need to remain continually aware of our accountability to all knowing God, to our all knowing Creator, as well as our accountability in personal relationships. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Proverbs 27:17. We gotta sharpen each other, family. And before we get out of here this morning, a word from our sister in Christ. When you have been broken and your mind is troubled, seek God. He is known to be a heart fixer and a mind regulator. Have a mellow mind Monday, family. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' holy and precious name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for listening in. Please join me, God's will, on tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. It is a wrap.